Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
I mentioned the mass vaccination centres. Stephen Donnelly was tweeting about them a little bit earlier today, that GPs might be able to avail of a vaccine tomorrow in 3 different centres, Galway, Dublin and Portlaoise. Well, Brendan O'Shea is Assistant Professor for General Practice at Trinity College Dublin. He's a practicing GP in County Kildare. Brendan, do you have any more detail for us on this?
Well, this is a rapidly moving situation, and it really, it's basically really positive. But this immunisation is so incredibly important for everybody. Everybody's really looking at it with a magnifying glass. And whatever way you roll it out, almost certainly isn't going to be perfect, but it's very good. We really need to spare a thought. This vaccine has been delivered to affluent societies. It's not being delivered to impoverished societies and impoverished countries. But here we are today and things are moving really rapidly. I know in our own practice, we've had very intense conversations, socially distanced among our practice team, about what way we'd like to be immunised and what opportunities we have. So we know that some initial decisions were made to target people in nursing homes. And this is absolutely correct. They're the most vulnerable. We know that some GPs that are attending nursing homes have been particularly invited in to be immunised as part of the nursing home immunisation, which is good, but then it's divisive because some of us, a lot of us aren't involved in nursing homes. So where does that leave us? And then the bigger issue in teams is certainly there seem to be opportunities for GPs to be immunised rapidly, but that leaves practice nurses and practice administrative staff who are really in the front line still somewhat uncertain. But the uncertainty is reducing rapidly, and we know that the HSE and the IMO and the ICGP are continually consulting around this. A portal is being set up and people are able to register in it. So we are optimistic that in the next 4 to 6 weeks, it is likely that most general practice teams will be immunised. But it is moving rapidly. It's really important.
Look, everyone wants to get vaccinated as quickly as possible. I assume, though, with GPs that the thinking from policymakers is that, look, the emphasis there needs to be getting GPs and their teams vaccinated in order to start administering the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine. That's the key one for GPs. That's the one that's most likely to be given out to people in the community. And that one isn't going to be here for another 4 or 5 weeks anyway.
That's what it looks like. And, you know, if it's 6 or 7 weeks, it's not the end of the world. But like I say, because of the intense focus on it, everybody wants to be absolutely certain, and we can't be. And everybody wants to move this on. In general practice, we are doing a huge volume of care, and an awful lot of it is delivered face to face still, and an awful lot of it is delivered by practice nurses. They're doing childhood immunizations. We're all providing antenatal care. Cervical check is still rolling on. Not much good dodging coronavirus if you get cut out with a cervical cancer. And also, there's a lot of acute medical care that we're doing, which involves face to face contact. So we do feel in general practice that we are absolutely the front line. There's always a lot of focus and attention on the hospitals, but most people, when they've got a health issue, it is to general practice they come. That's the way our health system is structured. So we're very pleased and we're very anxious that our general practice teams, we are likely to be immunised in the next several weeks. That will enable the service we're providing, and it would also enable rollout of immunisation nationally.
So in terms of these mass vaccination centres tomorrow, though, it sounds like you're saying, look, it's unclear yet exactly how they're going to operate, who's going to be included and how many will get vaccinated.
It's not generally well understood right across the system because this is happening right just now. I know in our own practice, I have two other partners in the practice. The three of us have been invited to a local nursing home. We really had to pause and stop because that left the rest of our team not immunised. So we've had two team huddles around this, and the rest of our team are not holding it against us. We are getting ourselves immunized as quickly as possible, but that leaves our practice nurses in a really invidious situation. But we do understand, and we are optimistic. We are registering on the portal, and we would expect that they will be immunised within the next weeks.
Yeah, and I accept what you say. Look, the system isn't perfect, and it could never be, and you don't want perfection to become the enemy of the good. But like, it is 4:30. It's gone past 4:30 on a Friday. It just strikes me as unusual that the Minister for Health is tweeting about mass vaccination centres around the country tomorrow and GPs getting vaccinated at them. You don't seem to have the detail on it. I spoke myself before I came on air to a couple of GPs. They say they heard, like, I got wind of this last night, but they don't have a clue whether they're getting vaccinated tomorrow or not.
Look, since all this kicked off on the 12th of March 2020, there have been lots of unusual things. That is just the way that it is. So many things we took as a certainty aren't certain. But in general practice, this is the situation we find ourselves in today. We know that these vaccines they're moving into communities. We are thrilled and delighted for people in nursing homes. We certainly understand that our colleagues in hospital have been immunised. We feel we're almost certainly up next. We are working really hard. Our patients are being absolutely fantastic.
Brendan, and apologies to cut across to you, but can I ask, just when it comes to GPs vaccinating members of the public, like I assume, and maybe you'll tell me I'm wrong, I assume it'll operate on something of an honour system basis, that, you know, we'd be here until the end of time for you or your colleagues to work out, everyone in your practice, what jobs they do, what category they fall into, and when they should be vaccinated. And it'll be a version of, if you're in group 5, contact your local GP or pharmacy or whatever it happens to be now. If you're in group 6 now, I mean, how do you feel about that?
Well, you seem to be precise about this. You would like to know exactly what volume of vaccines is going to arrive when. Okay, and we can't precisely know that. Okay, we've got a good idea, and the idea is getting more precise all the time. You used an unfortunate word, honour system. It won't be based on primarily on those considerations in general practice. When we are immunising, and we already immunise very large numbers in general practice with influenza, for example, we will be using our electronic medical records to pull in categories. And for example, in any general practice, using an electronic medical record, we can call up a list of all patients with type 2 diabetes aged 60 to 65. And we can generate that list and we can begin to call them out. That is the way, almost certainly, that we would like to see it being done.
There's a lot more division, though, isn't there, with this? I mean, like, there's people who are in certain jobs, and I assume you and others don't want to be asking, say, Kieran, what is it you do Monday to Friday, actually? Oh, God, no, you're not in this category. You should be ringing me up next month.
Well, you see, in the electronic medical record system we have, we have all of that data. But certainly, we would like to see a needs-based system rolled out based on medical vulnerability. And so we've already, fortunately in our society, we have an awful lot of our people in nursing homes immunized. So they are arguably among the frailest and most vulnerable group. But in general practice, we do use electronic medical record systems, and we can call up, and we already do. This is part of what we do in terms of chronic disease management. We will be able to pull in and reach out and link in with the most vulnerable people. And these are the people who should be immunized first and high-risk professions. But this is a big, complex, whole-of-society job. We're not brilliant at it. I think collectively we're actually quite good.
Yeah.
And I think there's a real game changer coming. as opposed to the last dreadful 12 months we're all after putting in.
Brendan O'Shea, Assistant Professor for General Practice at Trinity College Dublin. He's a practicing GP in County Kildare. Brendan, thanks for your time. Adrian Kane is SIPTU's Administration and Community Division Organiser. Adrian, how satisfied are you with the timeline, the vaccination timeline, as much of a timeline as we have for essential workers?
Look, I think in terms of, you know, tomorrow is too late. But I think if you were to be trying to be objective in relation to it, I'd heard I think it was the chair of the vaccine task force, Breen McGrath, and he went on record today that of the EU 27, we're second place in terms of the rollout of the vaccine. I think the point that I would make in terms of looking at the vaccine program, and in all, I think it's divided into 15 groups. And as Brendan had said, obviously the health workers are first in line, along with our citizens in convalescent homes and nursing homes, etc. Yeah. But the point that we would make is that we need to start defining key workers, and that hasn't been done. SIPTU is a large general workers union. We've 200,000 members, so we represent every sector of the economy. But I can see, in terms of the calls that I've got over the last 2 weeks, is kind of competing rights amongst workers of who should be first up.
So confusion as to what category people fall into, is that it?
Yeah. Well, I won't even say that, but you need to define who are at level six are supposedly key workers, and you know, the kind of people that come to my mind would be retail workers, transport workers, people in education, local authorities, you know, looking at people who've been working in the meat industry.
Yeah.
So we did very good work at the beginning of this, going back to March, through what's called the LEAF, which is the Labour Employer Economic Forum. And that did two things. And I just heard you talking briefly before this item about the pub payment and the wage subsidy scheme. It was that group, which is made up of IBEC, the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, and government, that came up with that scheme. They also came up with the scheme of how to, the safety protocol for returning to work. That group needs to meet again and sort out this issue, or else we're going to be dealing with competing rights that people have in terms of, and people working in all those sectors have legitimate claims.
Can I ask, whose job is it to convene that meeting? You say those groups need to come together and meet. Have you contacted them, or whose job is it to do that?
I would have made it known within the trade union circles that needs to happen, but government ultimately needs to convene that body, which I think at that level needs to set out who are the key workers. A recurring theme throughout the last 9 months is that obviously there's huge uncertainty with this. That's the nature of the beast. But where you can bring certainty, then people get on board. Okay, and you know, whether that's a case of, are you going into lockdown? When is it happening? And at what? But when it's done, then people get with the program, as it were. And I think, you know, rather than letting this one fester, which, you know, I look after by and large public sector and community sector workers within SIPTU, and I can see within that cohort people saying, well, why aren't we before this group, etc. And then that's manifested, as I say, in the larger workforce. So we need to sort this one, Ciarán, is the point I would make.
All right, listen, Adrian, we appreciate your time. Adrian Kane, SIPTU's Administration and Community Division Organiser.